Good evening, everybody. We're so thankful to be here. I've been in Kingsport now for 3.5 years, and it's not that long, and I'm not that old. But it's becoming more and more clear to me, today than whenever I first got there, that this gospel's everything. I mean, this is everything. And everything else is nothing. Yeah. And God's people are the kingdom of God on earth. And we love you all. I mean, we just love you all. This is our joy and pleasure to be here and worship with you. And we're just grateful. We're all so grateful for the Lord and what He's done. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. We're going to look at one verse of Scripture for our text tonight. It's a very precious verse. Verse 11. Psalm 25, verse 11. It says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." Now, if we truly think about what that verse is saying, if we could enter into what that verse is saying, that is an amazing verse. That is an amazing verse of Scripture. "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." David said, "My sin is great." That's what he said. "My sin is great." I've thought before about the fact that I am so thankful that my sin is not on record somewhere for people to walk up and read. Aren't you so glad for that? The sins of this heart, the sins of the actions. Aren't you so glad for that? These men that are in the Scripture, our dear brethren, their sins are on record for all of God's children to walk up to and read. God put them all on. He didn't exempt anybody. Not hardly anybody. And when I think of David wrote this, I think of a man after God's own heart. Isn't that what God said about him? God's own heart. I love that man. I think of a young boy who was chosen to be the king of Israel. Don't you love that story? We know that Samuel goes in and they start with the biggest and the strongest, and he says, "Not him." What? Well, okay, it's got to be the next one. All the way down. Is there anybody else? Not really, no. Just, I've got one kid out there keeping sheep. Bring him in here. As soon as he walked into the room, God said, "Arise, anoint him." That's the one. He's the one. When I think of David, I think about a young boy who had courage. Could you imagine fighting a lion? I don't even like seeing him at the zoo, really. I don't like getting too close to the glass. He fought a lion, he fought a bear, and he fought a giant. Courageous. I think of a man who brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. I have so much respect for him. God's chosen king. But the fact of the matter is, David was a sinner. He was a sinner. That story of Naaman in the book of Kings, it says all those wonderful things about this man Naaman. He was a mighty man of valor, and he won great wars for his king and his country, and he did all these wonderful things, but he was a leper. That's the only problem. He was a leper. David was a great man, but he was a sinner. He was a sinner. He lied to get that showbread from the high priest. You remember that story? He went to God's high priest and he said he was running from the king, but he said, "The king sent me to get this. I'm on the king's errand." He lied. He just, John Gill said, it was a downright lie. He just lied. And then to save his own skin, he didn't have faith in his God. He did not look to and trust in his God. He didn't practice what he preached. What he did is he pretended to be a madman. He let spit run down his beard. He started scratching on the gates. Then there was a man named Uriah. You know about that man Uriah. A man, this man Uriah, was fighting for David. Literally fighting for David. Off in battle, risking his life for David, a devoted soldier of his king. David literally took his world. Took his world. David was a married man. He committed adultery against his own wife. He committed adultery against Uriah, Uriah's wife. And then when he was caught, he was caught. Bathsheba came and said, "David, we have a little problem." And when he was caught, he tried to cover it all up, didn't he? Just cover it all up. Tried to get that man to go home to his wife, and that man wouldn't go. He said, "I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay with this army. I'm going to sleep at your doorstep. I'm going to protect my king." And when he wouldn't go home, David had him killed. Killed the man. David's conscience was so seared to it. So absolutely seared to it all. He did not feel one ounce of remorse. Not one ounce until God in mercy sent Nathan the prophet to him. And Nathan said, "David, I want to tell you about a great sinner." Mm-hmm. He stood up and he said, "I want to tell you about a great, great sinner." And when Nathan got to the end of his story, David said, "I want you to tell me who that man is and I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to give him what's coming to him." Nathan said, "David, thou art the man." Right here, "thou art the man." When he said that, God's two-edged sword pierced David's heart, didn't it? Isn't that the mercy of God to us? To come, that blinding, sharp, quickening, "oh, thou art the man." It pierced his soul. At that exact moment, this is what David cried. Go with me over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, right under the title, there's a heading that says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba." This is what he said. "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Wouldn't we love that? "Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Lord, you're the judge. That's all I can say. You're the judge. You're the judge. I stand before you a guilty sinner. I stand before you a guilty, guilty sinner. Now go with me back to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 11 says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." It's great. Now let me show you why this verse is so amazing. This is so amazing. I have fallen in love with this verse of Scripture. Could you imagine a prisoner? A convicted prisoner. Go, you guys, I'm sure you have a jail around here somewhere. Could you imagine one of those prisoners going before a judge and saying, "Your Honor, the reason I'm begging you to release me, I'm here for you to release me. And the reason I'm begging for you to release me, I'm asking you to pardon me." Pardon means excuse. Set free. I'm asking you to set me free. Just excuse me. And the reason that I'm begging for you to set me free is because I am such a great sinner. That's the reason. My transgressions are so many. And they are so, so great. And I acknowledge every single one of them. Every one of them. I am guilty of every single one of them. So I'm asking, because of that, would you pardon me? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine anybody saying that before any judge? Most every prisoner who has gone before a judge for pardon goes on the grounds of, "I'm not guilty." I'm not guilty. Or they go on the grounds of, "Now, I used to be a transgressor. And I will admit it. Man, I used to be, I just can't even go into what I used to be. But not anymore. Not anymore." But this is what David's crying right here. "I'm the worst. I literally am the worst. Please set me free." Why would I do that? Because I'm the worst. I'm the worst. Why on this earth would I do that? Verse 11 says, "For thy name's sake." That's why. For thy name's sake. I'm asking you to do this for your name's sake. What is His name? Call His name Savior. Redeemer. Turn with me over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is His name whereby He shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." The Lord our righteousness. You know what's so glorious about that? It does not say, "The Lord is righteousness," even though He is. It didn't say that. It doesn't say the Lord has earned His own righteousness, even though He has. It doesn't say that. What it says is, His name is the Lord, our righteousness. What have you ever done good? That's the Lord. Where is your righteousness? There's my righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Lord, for thy name's sake. What's his name? The Lord, our righteousness. For thy name's sake. Pardon mine iniquity. It's so great. It's so great. Lord, this is my plea. I'm begging you to forgive me and set me free. And here's the only grounds I have. This is all I have to go on. You came into this world to save sinners. And I'm the greatest sinner I've ever known. I'm the greatest sinner I have ever known. Go with me over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities," every single one of them. I mean every single one of them. "Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Every sinner who comes to Christ begging for pardon, and his only grounds being the oppression of his own sin. That's his only grounds. Not the good works that he's tried to do. I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to straighten up. I'm trying to fly right. None of that stuff. "I stand here acknowledging all of my sin, every single one of them. But I've come to you for forgiveness. I've come for pardon because of who you are." That's the whole reason I'm here. It's because of who you are. "For thy name's sake," every sinner who comes on the grounds of being a sinner is going to receive something from the Lord's hand. Every single one of them. Go with me to Isaiah 61. Every sinner who comes begging is going to receive something from the Lord's hand. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion." Now here's what they're going to get. Verse 3 says, "To give unto them beauty for ashes." Every sinner who comes standing in his own ashes. Every sinner who comes in his own ashes, the ashes of his own sin, is going to receive in exchange for those ashes the beauty of the Lord. David said, "I can't wait to just sit in his temple and look at the beauty of the Lord." I come and David said, "I'm coming and I acknowledge what I am. Ashes. And I give them all to you." In exchange, the Lord said, "Here's the beauty of the Lord." The beauty of the Lord. That's amazing, isn't it? Verse 3 goes on to say, "The oil of joy for mourning." Every sinner who comes shedding the tear of sorrow over sin. People have sorrow everywhere, but the sorrow of sin, over that sin, every single one is going to receive, for His name's sake, the oil of joy, that balm of Gilead, the joy of the Lord, the joy of forgiveness, the joy of a freed conscience. You know how wonderful a freed conscience is? You ever felt guilty about something? I was feeling guilty about something the other day, and I had to call somebody and said, I'm feeling guilty about this. And he said, don't even worry about it. Whew, thanks. What a relief. Well, that's just a silly illustration of a freed conscience before God Almighty. That's joy. That's joy. Verse 3 goes on to say, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. It's all for the Lord's glory, that He might be glorified. Every bit of it. He's going to do everything for every chosen sinner for His own glory. It's all for His own glory. It's for His name's sake. Now go with me to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, and look at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I'm going to make a new covenant, a brand new testament. Right before our Lord went to that cross, He held up that cup and He said, this cup right here is the new testament of My blood. That covenant used to be the law. Now it's My blood. This is the new covenant, the new testament of My blood, which is shed for you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to pardon you because I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to pay for you. Verse 32 right here says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which My covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be My people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know Me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Is there a better verse in the Scripture than that? I'll forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sin no more. How's that even possible? How's that even possible? The God who knows everything, does He not know everything? The end from the beginning. How is that even possible? Here's how. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'll pass over you. I won't even look at you. When I see the blood, I won't even look at your deeds. I won't even be looking at you. I will keep My eye on Christ My Son. I will keep My eyes focused on Christ My Son in His precious blood. That blood that's covering you, poured all over you. You're going to be hiding in Him. Hiding in that blood. Now, if you want to be judged on your own works, I won't put you in Christ. I'll stand you next to Christ and you can be judged compared to Christ. And if that's the case, you'll die in your sins. But if you come begging to be under that blood, And no matter how great a sinner you are, if you come begging to be robed in His righteousness, then the eye of God Almighty will be fixed on the payment Christ made to forgive all that iniquity. And there's no more sin to remember. There's no more to remember. It's gone. That's the only way to come to Christ. It's as a sinner. We never leave that. We never leave that. You'd think at some point David would realize God chose him to be king. God said he was a man after His own heart. He promised the Christ through his seed. At some point David would start to realize, I belong to Him. But you know what? While we're on this earth, we're never going to leave this right here. I'm the greatest sinner that's ever lived. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Pardon me. That's the only way to come to Christ. It's as a sinner. And this is what our Lord said. When a man comes begging, Lord, for Thy name's sake, pardon mine iniquity because it's great. When a man comes to me like that, he said, I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter who it is. Any man who comes begging, pardon me, Lord, because I'm the greatest sinner I've ever known. Whoever comes like that, I'll in no wise cast out. Every single one is going to receive that balm of Gilead, that oil of joy. Every prisoner is going to be set free. He truly does set prisoners free. He sets them free. So, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, power, love. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, thank you, Brother Tom.
Good news. Who's it good news to? Sinners.
Mm-hmm.
While you were preaching there on that word pardon, this verse of scripture came to me. The prayer of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 9:17. Thou art a God ready to pardon.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready. Mm-hmm. He delights to show mercy. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and a great kindness.
Mm-hmm.
What blessing mm-hmm. we have in Christ. For Thy name's sake, O Lord. Let's take our hymn book, line number 44. Number 44. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? 44.